This is strange. Got a computer and have to stand up here, and there's a ceiling over us. And I was just sitting here thinking about when we were in Lamogai not too long before we came to the States this trip, and that was just in the middle of a village and people and huts all around us and all that kind of stuff. It's just culturally different here in America. Yeah, and I got a microphone. Oh, it's just. Anyway. Oh, we got to move fast here. I got death threats. I had to be done at 10:25, so. No. Because I have heard what happens to people who are taking care of little babies out back in those rooms, and they don't like it when we go over time. So, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. No, thank you. Thank you very, very much for your love and your grace. We have food on our table because of you, and we're able to, a lot of our ministry expenses are travel. Because Sandy and I work out of an area, but we travel a lot, serving a lot of missionary teams and elders in tribal churches. We hang out with the general community, and hopefully we show them the love of Christ and provide that model that Paul said. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. I think that's a pretty heavy responsibility to make sure that our lives are oozing the character of Jesus Christ, and that people could actually come and say, Mike, you're different than when I saw you last year. What do you mean? I said, well, you're kind of growing in grace. Well, I think that's one of the most incredible compliments that any of us can have, is that we're growing to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Yeah, but we minister to the shepherd leaders in the tribal churches a lot. That's who we focus on, because we don't want to take over their responsibility. They are the ones designated by God to minister His grace, to teach the rest of the local churches. So we kind of spend a lot of time with them and let them, we benefit from one another, but we let them then minister His grace and truth to the rest of the churches. So that's what we spend a lot of time doing traveling. But yeah, so you pay for like outboard motor fuel for traveling up and down rivers and airplanes. And I'm sorry, I'm spoiled rotten. I get to fly around in jet helicopters once in a blue moon. And it's actually, I was talking to one of her MKs. I don't know if I told you about her before, but I saw her. They were flying in and out of, you remember Paul and Susan Boothby from the Gende tribe. And I was talking to one of their daughters who, I've made that hike several times in and out of Gende to serve that team. And it's a pretty tough hike. I mean, you get dropped off at about somewhere between 9 and I've heard it's closer to 10,000 feet. And you hike for about 4.5 hours, mostly down. Coming back is another experience. But every once in a while, they use the helicopter. And one of their daughters was flying out to the MK boarding school where she was going to school. And I said, well, Laura, you know, I've kind of noticed when I go back to the States, when parents drop off their kids at school, say like it's a middle school or even high school, if the parents are still dropping kids off at high schools anymore. But boy, if you're driving a BMW or a Mercedes, it's kind of like, whoa, nice car. And, you know, the thoughts start going and, oh man, that's another league and stuff like that. But I said, Laura, you get dropped off in a jet helicopter. What's that like? And she goes, it's boring. I just thought, man, you can do this stuff enough to where what was cutting edge and just totally awesome, cool, you know, 2 years ago just becomes, yeah, whatever. So anyway, I'm glad Jesus never gets that way, huh? Yeah. But thank you very, very much for praying for us. You can tell I'm an airhead. I'm really glad for that verse in Corinthians where he says, God chooses the weak and foolish of this world to confound the wise and the mighty so that God gets the glory. And guess what? I qualify, you know? Cool. Ask teachers like Wayne Morrow what I was like when I was in high school, and I could tell you stories. It's all grace, pure grace. Well, listen, I don't want to get into a bunch of stories. James said something about, you know, Mike and Sandy sharing about things that have been going on in their lives. I don't want to do a whole lot of that. I'm sorry. I may disappoint you and stuff, but I've been studying. Well, I finished 1st and 2nd Timothy. These are my personal devos. And, boy, I had, you know, years ago, I don't know if I told you about this, but someone asked me one time, I was speaking to a group and they said, so how often do you spend time in the Word? And I said, wow, at least once a day. And someone said, well, Mike, that's kind of legalistic, isn't it? I'm serious. I'm dead serious. It's kind of legalistic, isn't it? And I said, well, let me ask you something. How often do you eat? And someone in the group there said, well, basically every day. I said, really? And do you eat more than once during a day? And someone, maybe more than once, said, well, yeah, usually about 3 times a day. And I said, well, isn't that kind of legalistic? Yeah, we spend time in God's Word because it's like Jesus talked about. You know, it's our life. I know what we do without. Well, we couldn't know God without His Word. But anyway, I've been studying through 1 and 2 Timothy and then did 1 and 2 Thessalonians and then jumped into Revelation. I just want to share some thoughts that have come out to me as I've been going through there. And this is in the spirit of 2 Peter. Sorry, I got to use my computer. I already packed my Bible in my suitcase. We're flying out on Wednesday. And you know, I don't want to get to the airport and find out I'm 1 pound overweight and they hit us for $1,000 or something like that. So we packed up our suitcases and they're weighed up in my Lamo Guy Bible that I study out of most of the time and my big fat English Bible are in there. So I'm using my laptop if you don't mind. The 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 says, "So I will always remind you of these things even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. But I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." And that's the spirit that I'm sharing this in this morning. I've been checking up on you guys and I'm a little bit afraid to share what I'm going to share that you guys think I'm trying to hammer you or something like that. That has nothing to do with it. It's just the things that God was doing in my own heart as I was studying through Revelation. I'm up to chapter 7 now, but this is what came out in chapter 2. I'm just bouncing through there, and I'm reading in the Lamo Guy, and so I'll read you the English. I'll read you the Lamo Guy later. But Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." I think those are pretty astounding character qualities for God who knows everything. I mean, he even said in Proverbs, it's a sin to flatter people or blow smoke, you know? Oh, you're just like they do in Papua New Guinea. They walk, I don't know if this happened to you guys, but I have complete strangers walk up to me in Papua New Guinea. "Oh, Michael, you're a good man. Oh, man, you win in plenty, man. Mike, you're a good man." They've never met me. They don't know what I'm like. "Mike, you're a good man." It's just a bunch of fluff. You want to know why? Because they want to get something out of me later. You know, "Oh, I need a shirt. I need a pair of shoes. I need 10 kina," whatever it is. And yeah, I won't get into all that. But God doesn't blow smoke. He was telling the truth about the Ephesian church. He says, "Yeah, your hard work, your perseverance. You can't tolerate wicked men. And you have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." I think that's pretty incredible. I mean, I've persevered sometimes through some hardships and stuff like that. Sandy has too. I remember when she got dengue fever and she's half dead in bed and stuff like that. You know, but me, there's been times when I've gotten weary. I haven't been as noble as the Ephesians. And I'm like, "Oh God, please, I'm just tired of this." Yeah, but he says they haven't grown weary. But he goes on to say, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." That's when, do you guys ever get this experience when you're reading in the Word? There's times when I've picked up the Word in the morning and I start reading it because I know I need it. It's kind of like sometimes Sandy hands me the bowl of fruit in the morning and says, "Mike, eat this." And I'm like, "Whatever, I got to get to work." And she goes, no, Mike, 10 o'clock, you're not going to feel real good. So eat this. And I just, you know, I go ahead and eat it. It actually tastes pretty good. And I do have some energy at 10 o'clock. Well, that's the way it is with the Word of God. Sometimes I sit down, I'm like, "Okay, put in my time, God, just so you'll be happy." And I read through and suddenly, whoa. Okay, God's doing that thing. I call it open heart surgery of the most excellent kind. You're just going, "Okay, God, I didn't know I was getting into this with you this morning." But he says, "I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did first." You want to hear the Lamo Guy? I think it's pretty cool. It's not going to mean, I'll skip it. It's okay. You wouldn't understand even one word, but it is truly meaningful. The thing I think is cool is we do meaning-based translation, which is not just word for word, which honestly wouldn't make a whole lot of sense because there's things in English that will, in one clause or one sentence, that don't make sense until you expand it into two sentences. In the Lamo Guy, it says, "In the past, you loved me deeply, but now the love that you have for me isn't like what it was before." And while I'm reading that in my devos, and I'm going, "Okay, God, talk to me. You already are." Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I'll skip a lot of things. But the thing that I saw is that And I started thinking back, what was it like? What was it like when I first trusted in Christ? I didn't have an emotional, you know, bounce off the wall experience. It was just basically I trusted in Christ. I'd never heard in 1969, first human being to land on the moon. Woodstock, all that cool stuff. I trusted in Christ. I think it leaves it in the dust. Woodstock was nothing. I have a friend who was ministering in Papua New Guinea that went to Woodstock. And I'm saying, hey, Mike, what was that like? You know, and stuff like that. Trusting in Christ leaves that in the dust. What were we like? We go to Bible studies. Any of you know Leon Glunz? Do you remember him when he was still alive? Yeah. Leon used to disciple about 8 of us guys. We trusted in Christ through Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We go to Leon's house on Thursday nights. And one time he says, well, guys, let's talk about dating. We're like, cool, you know? So he opens up the Bible and starts reading about dating and stuff. And it says, God's desire for us is not to be unequally yoked. And he explained that was because I never put on a yoke in my life and I'm trying to figure out what this is. But it dawned on me that God didn't want me dating an unsaved girl. So I went home and called up on the phone and broke up with Kathy and all of that. And she's, honestly, we didn't ask a lot of questions. It was just like, we love God. Whatever he says, we'll do it. And we just did it. And she's sobbing on the phone and stuff like that. I'm glad I broke up with her because I eventually got Sandy and whew. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway. She's crying and stuff. Well, what's going on? I said, well, I just heard from God tonight. And he said, I'm one of his children and you're not. And you're kind of, you know, you're a cool girl and stuff like that. But I just can't keep going out with you. So we're done. You know, I just hang up the phone. I probably should have prayed. I was pretty immature and should have prayed and tried to be a little bit nicer or something. It wasn't harsh. But that was the thing. It was a little bit later. I'm sitting there in a Christian businessman's meeting and the old, what was it called? Sambo's. Restaurant down there. It's a Chinese place now. Some guy named Phil Volan asked me and come to this meeting, and I go in there and this guy's talking about world missions, and I'd never heard about that before. And it's just like I was sitting there and all those businessmen, the lawyers, the bankers, the everybody just faded out. It was just me and God, and he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm like, okay, God, you weren't just talking to guys 2,000 years ago. You're talking to me. I have to make a decision. Either I obey you or I disobey you. Oh, yeah, that's what we were like. That was my love for God. We'll talk about that a little bit differently, how much obedience has to do with what God considers love is. But a lot of us, we've kind of faded. I'll be honest with you. My first love has faded at different times in my life. I don't know what you guys are like, and I'm not trying to paint a picture from me to you or something like that, but there's been times in my life when I've done ministry. You know, we're cutting edge missionaries, and I'm sorry, it's gag-a-maggot. I get tired of it hearing all this stuff. Wow, you're out there on the front line, Mike. And I have eventually said to some people when I felt it was safe, I said, I disagree with you. I thought the front line was in the front of the nose of every single child of God who has trusted in Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. That's where the front line. Why do you think I'm on a front line? Because I live in some exotic, I live in the Discovery Channel. But guess what? You do too. I went back home after praying this morning here at the church to pick up Sandy, and I'm having an emotional struggle because this is the Rogue Valley where I grew up. And I love these mountains, and it's the Discovery Channel. Going out in the woods and seeing all this stuff, that they're not going to come here and take pictures of the Rogue Valley because they want some exotic place. Well, this is exotic. Oh, man. Where's my heart? I live out there, but there's been times I've been ministry driven. You know, I'm putting in the time and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I come home and Sandy goes, whoa, you're kind of grumpy today. Oh yeah, I'm doing the stuff that you guys may think is real cutting edge and stuff, but I don't think I was walking with God when I'm getting impatient with something or grumbling about something like that. It has nothing to do with that. I think at those times I've lost my first love because what does he say? In everything give thanks, and for everything give thanks. Well, that's hard for me. You guys probably leave me in the dust, but that's pretty hard because there's some things I can go, okay, God, I'm in the middle of this ugly situation. Thank you anyway. But to thank him for that thing, that's pretty tough for me. But that's what love for God is all about. Oh, man. I'm not implying that you guys are the same as me. Listen to what he says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, how about if I speak in the tongues of Lamo guy and Melanesian pigeon? I'm fluent in both of those languages. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. The kind of stuff that many people nowadays would say, oh, wow, awesome. But he says, if it doesn't come from a heart of love, it's nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but if I don't have love, I gain nothing. Pretty strong statements. But he's saying, Mike, the rest of my children, I'm about love. God is love. I think that's the most cool thing about that. Those first three chapters in Genesis is the four-letter word love is never stated once, but it just oozes of love. A God who needed absolutely none of this stuff that you and I enjoy on a daily basis. He just gave it all to you and I. If that isn't love, I don't know what. And guess what? Like the Lama guy said when we were teaching that the first time, one of them, it's not like church in America, but they actually say things while we're talking and teaching. And he just blurted out, oh my goodness, all the days and weeks we have gone into the jungle and taken wild pigs and cassowaries and wood for different things, for our spears, for our houses, and harvested taro and all those things. Never once have we ever thanked God. Ooh, we got a problem. I think he was beginning to understand the love that God had for them. I like what Jesus says. He says, remember the height, speaking again about the Ephesian church, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Have you read O. Henry? Like Gift of the Magi and those cool stories. I loved that. I was an O. Henry fan, and I used to read them over there in the nights, say a Friday or Saturday night, read another O. Henry short story. He was the master of irony. But I think God leaves him in the dust, because it's amazing what he said here. Remember the height from which you were fallen. Do you remember what he says in is it Ephesians? Acts chapter 19. He's talking about, Am I supposed to quit? What? Cover my mouth. Oh. Okay. But when they realized he, Paul, was a Jew, and they shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable," I think that's ironic, 2,000 years ago, people were stating scientific truths as if they were scientific. We're doing that today. Hello. You know, global warming. I want to take Al Gore out there to the coast near where we're moving, right after, or soon after we get back to Papua New Guinea, and show him the coral reefs that are 10 to 15 feet out of the water, and say, "Hello, Al, whose exhaust pipe caused the sea level to get that high?" Because coral doesn't grow unless it's underwater. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying there, but there was some experience that caused the ice to melt or whatever it was, or maybe God just created it that way. Hello. These facts are undeniable. But you remember what he said there in Revelation chapter 2. You've fallen. The height that you've fallen from. I think God is a little bit ironic there. Ephesians chapter 6, 24. I think this is even more ironic. This is the last verse of the book of Ephesians. The very last verse. "Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." Wow, isn't that ironic? That here was a church that doctrinally they were right on. Hardworking effort, they were right on. Perseverance, they were right on. Not growing weary, they were right on. But the one thing that he said at the very last thing, and it's kind of like my dad. You know, my dad, when he went out the door on a trip or something like that, he'd, you know, "Mark, Mike, do these things, don't do this, and remember." And it was the last thing he said. Boy, we knew if we forgot that one that we were probably going to be grounded for a week or 6 weeks. But the last thing that Jesus said to his church in Ephesus, "Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." And their love, well, it didn't die, but it faded. It's sad. I just want to encourage us. And like I said, it's safe for me to say this in a sense because I don't know where you and your walks with the Lord are, but it is. We have had, I could tell you stories about missionaries who have gone thousands of miles, 8,000 probably, from Grants Pass to Papua New Guinea. And cutting edge translators, great Bible. I know a Bible teacher is one of the probably the better Bible teachers that I've ever met on planet Earth. You know what he's doing? They go down to Australia for medicals or back to the United States on home assignments and he's sleeping with prostitutes. Hello? I met missionaries who, as far as I can tell, seem like they're full of themselves. This is just, I couldn't make it any other way, so I'm going to build a name for myself by being an exotic foreign missionary. And everybody's just going to think I'm the coolest guy on planet Earth and stuff. And you're just like, oh, whatever. It's not what this is about. This is about being a servant of Jesus Christ and of other people. Of being humble and that kind of things. I got to close here. I'm already 2 minutes over. Sorry, a lot more. If some of you want the notes, I just started doing a personal study on this a couple weeks ago and going through it, and you wouldn't believe the things. I didn't say anything about the obedience things. I think James made reference to it this morning about how Jesus obeyed his Father. You would not believe the Bible verses. I did a study, in, especially in the book of John years ago, and the number of times that Jesus said, the words that I say, they're not my own. I only say what my Father tells me to say. The deeds I do are not mine. In fact, he says, the whole world will know who I am because I do what my Father tells me to do. And then he goes on to say, if you love me, obey my commands. He said, my children, if you really want to know what love is all about, it's not about, and I had to think about this one too. I got a whole bunch of notes that I wrote to myself, questions that I asked me. Mike, what do you binge on? Do you binge on anything? Is it work? Is it Facebook? Is it the internet? Is it movies? Is it novels? Is it free time? Is it sleep or what? And I really suspect that most all of us on planet Earth have something that we really gravitate to, but I had to ask myself, what do I gravitate to? Is it God? What do I do with my free time? I don't believe we have any free time because it's all His time, but we say my free time, you know, but what do I gravitate to when I have some free time? Is it God? Oh man, God, 15 minutes of free time. Hey, I'm going to dive into your word and listen to you a little bit more and stuff. There's a whole series of questions I had to ask myself. But he talks about obedience. It's a huge thing. So I have to ask myself, God, am I consistently obeying the things that you have said in your word? Is there a growing conformity to the image of Christ? Because you said 6,000 years ago when you created the first human beings that was your ultimate core value purpose for them. Create man in my image, and then fast forward 2,000 years later and he's saying in the book of Romans, conform to the image of Christ. Wow. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. I think I'll just close with that is that's the thing. Have we can take a step back, and like I said, this is safe because I don't know if you've lost your first love. I just want to exhort you, like he says in that spirit of 2 Peter, that we will remind one another of these things as much as we have opportunity to exhort and encourage one another into the love of God, and that he would be the one that drives our lives. So I'm not doing missionary service just because I feel like, well, it's God's will and I guess I have to or I'm going to get punished. But no, this is, oh God, I see how much you love me. And that, like 2 Corinthians 5 says, constrains me to want to serve you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the love that you have displayed for us. I'm sorry for not loving these people because I went 10 minutes overtime. Sorry. God, just continue to help us to focus on your love and that it would change the way that we think and act and are, and that your love would be what motivates us. Help us not to be like that church in Ephesus that had so many good qualities but lacked the one thing that you wanted them to remember and to have an undying love for other humans, but especially for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.